Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, July 26th, 2009.
If you'll open this evening to John 16, this morning I basically only had time for an introduction, and then just to begin to touch on the doctrine of the Trinity, the triune God, the three-in-one Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each one of them are equally God. They all share the same divine attributes. None is inferior to the other. They're all equally God. But though they have the same attributes, and though they all three work for the same divine purposes, in Scripture, we find out they do have different roles and responsibilities in the execution of that divine purpose. One purpose, one nature, one Godhead. But there are three different roles that are presented to us in Scripture. It was the Father's will to save the human race. But the Father didn't die for the sins of the world. He sent the Son. Jesus Christ willingly came and gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus is my Savior. Now, God the Father is my Savior in the sense that it is the purpose of God the Father to redeem me, to save me. So in that sense, we certainly could use the word Savior concerning God the Father. But the Father didn't die for our sins. The Son did. He was sent, he willfully came, and he laid down his life. The Son now has returned to heaven and is presently at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit was sent, and he is the one who is left here right now to be our advocate and our comforter and our guide in a very personal, intimate way. John 16, verses 7 to 10, Jesus himself, he makes this statement, which it seems to be somewhat of an odd statement. Jesus, you and I may think, what would be greater than to have Jesus, just like he walked and taught and stayed with his disciples, what would be greater than that, than to have Jesus personally in that physical body right there in your midst? But Jesus told those disciples who had that privilege, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Now, would you think that would be true? If you were Peter and John and sitting there listening to Jesus face to face, knowing he's the Christ, the Son of God, would you think it would be to your advantage to have him go away? I wouldn't think so. But he said so. "For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Advocate, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." Jesus, of course, is referring to the Holy Spirit. So he's the one who has been given the responsibility to reveal to us the will and the purpose of the Godhead, and then to enable us to experience that purpose on a very real personal level. 1 Corinthians 2:11, turn over there. This role that was given to the Holy Spirit is not the role or the responsibility of God the Father or God the Son. This responsibility to reveal truth to us, to bring conviction, to comfort us, to help us, is the role of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is given the responsibility to cause us to enter into all that Jesus Christ died on the cross to purchase for us. That was the plan of the Father. that is the purpose of the triune God that we enter in, not only to salvation, but then to every aspect of what that salvation entails. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And why is that? Why is it that the Holy Spirit knows so much about the will of God? Because he's God. He's one in nature and one in purpose with God the Father and God the Son. Paul describes the different roles of each member of the Godhead in this way in 1 Corinthians 12, if you'll turn there. We'll see clearly that each member of the Godhead has a unique role to play in the execution of the divine purposes of the Godhead. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. Paul describes it this way. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Paul is mentioning each member of the Trinity here, isn't he? And though he is emphasizing the unity, the oneness of those three, yet he mentions that there are differences within that unity. The Father is the author of all the works and operations and activities of heaven and earth. The Son is the administrator or the executor of the will of the Father, and he is the one who directs all ministries. All God-given ministries are under the direction of God the Son. He's the one who gave gifts to the body, didn't he? But here we find, and this is the emphasis of this chapter, the Holy Spirit is the one who has the charge of being the enabler and the giver of gifts. He is the one that brings to us an understanding of the will of God and then gives us the things that we need in order for us to enter into the will of God. That's his responsibility. And it's important for us to acknowledge the role of each member of the Godhead. Because if we do not, then we're going to fail to enter in fully to the divine purposes of the Godhead. It's imperative that we acknowledge the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, or we will never enter into the fullness of what Christ died to give us. It is the will of the Godhead that Jesus Christ be exalted in this church age. He's been given a name above every name. It's the will of the Father that the Son be glorified. Everything we do in this church age is to be done in the name of Jesus. But it is the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to us. So we cannot honor Jesus if we ignore the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you see how that works? Some people accuse us of speaking too much of the Holy Spirit and says in John there that the Holy Spirit will not speak of his own. And so we shouldn't speak of it either. But the translation there is, he shall not speak apart on his own. He shall not speak on his own authority, but he speaks with the authority of the Godhead. And do you realize that the Holy Spirit actually talks a lot about himself? Who inspired the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Where do we read about the Holy Spirit? In the Bible. So the Holy Spirit talks a lot about himself, but for the purpose of pointing us to Jesus Christ. But we cannot ignore his role, or we will not enter into the fullness of the purpose of God. 1 Corinthians 12:3. This is how imperative it is to know and surrender to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3, beginning with salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. A person cannot be saved apart from the person and work of the Holy Spirit. God the Son paid the price of our redemption. But we are ushered into that born-again state by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He reveals to us we need a Savior. You're a sinner. Then he reveals to us Jesus is that Savior. He paid the price, full and complete, and there's nothing more to be added. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal that to the hearts. I can't convince people. It's not about trying to persuade people to be saved. All that we are accountable for is to proclaim the gospel. We announce it. We offer it. We invite. But I can't save anybody. And even if I was a good debater, I can't convince somebody they need to be saved. That's the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And unless the Holy Spirit does that, and unless that individual surrenders to that convicting, revealing work, they can't be saved. And they will never say in their heart, in a genuine experience, Jesus is my Savior. That comes only by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's just the beginning. You cannot go from salvation and live a Christian life apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It can't happen. You can't be the kind of Christian you need to be apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, all of those statements, good fundamental teachers will agree with me. But I want you to notice as we go through this study how that I carefully point you to scriptures and build one brick at a time. And when we come to some of the doctrines that you may not fully accept, some, I want you to see how I'm not going to change my approach to scripture. I'm going to continue to take one brick of scripture and put it on another and show how perfectly it fits in the will of God. And we're going to keep building when we come to every point of doctrine. And then I want you to notice how others who reject some of these truths, how that in many of these areas, so far much of what I've preached on, I've heard good that preachers that do it far better than I do, that I enjoy listening to, because they're good and sound and they go to scripture after scripture, they build this is why we believe this. And then when they come to certain parts of the teaching on the Holy Spirit, then it's like they forget their building skills. And they throw out the Word of God and the biblical approach. I'm not going to do that. And so I want you to follow each of these bricks and see how all of these fit together. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 14. As a child of God, you cannot understand what God has prepared for you in this life and in eternity apart from the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, we read, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This passage talks about what God has prepared for us, those that love God because they love Christ. It says that it's beyond man's imagination. Now, most people like to stop there and say, well, see, we can't know these things. But the whole purpose of the passage in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit. We talked this morning about the vain imagination of man lost in sin and how he's come up with so many religions and idolatry and mythology and now evolution and humanism. And man has a lot of thoughts about life and death and eternity and all of those things. We could not have ever come up with the things that God has revealed to be prepared for us who put our faith in Jesus Christ. Man couldn't come up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit was given the charge to reveal to hearts this grace of God, this love of God that would save His enemies. And we don't get that already from the beginning. God loved His enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet His enemies. I wouldn't kind of think that up. But this is God's plan He revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. And then to understand, not only does He save us and restore us to where the place where Adam lost because of his sin, but as we've recently had in the book of Revelation, to actually offer us to sit in the throne with the heir of all things, the Son of God, to be joint equal heir with Him, I could have never come up with that. But the Spirit of God revealed that to me. This is why it's important. You cannot be saved apart from the Spirit. You cannot be the kind of Christian you need to be and understand what God has for you apart from the Holy Spirit. That's pretty serious stuff that we need to acknowledge the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the triune God, the Trinity. One in spirit, one in nature, one in purpose. Three unique individual members with unique roles, all working to accomplish the same thing, the revealed purpose of God. In John 10, we'll read that. Jesus speaks of this oneness of the Godhead, specifically concerning the Father and the Son. But we'll refer to Paul's statement as well that adds the Holy Spirit here. But in John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what? They're one. Is that a contradictory statement? I and my Father are one. No, it's the revelation of the Trinity. It is one purpose on which they are agreed and bring and have brought about the redemption of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul goes on to add that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the picture that we're given here, and this is why we understand the clear teaching of Scripture that we are eternally saved. It's not because we keep ourselves saved by being so good. It's because of this triune God who has executed their will and their purpose and will see to it that it will be completely fulfilled. And so I am in the hand of the Father. My eternal security, my eternal life is in God the Father's hand. And God the Son, they've shaken hands on it. I'm in the Son and the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is the seal. That's how secure I am. And this is why I never question my eternal destiny. It's not blasphemy. It is to take God at His word. I worship God who has fulfilled His purpose. And this is, we'll close with 2 Corinthians 13:14 this evening, where we see a clear reference to the Trinity working together to accomplish the will that has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. That's one of his jobs, one of his responsibilities. And so I must learn to recognize him. I must learn to acknowledge him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I'm glad to know all of those things are for me. All of those things are directed toward me because I serve the one true God. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.